These are the readings, and this is the sermon for the seventh Sunday of Easter. I urge you, as always, to reflect and meditate on these readings, particularly our second reading today from 1 Peter, which for times such as these is a little sermon in and of itself. Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son Jesus Christ suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A reading from Acts. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord. A reading from Psalm 68. Let God arise and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee. As smoke is driven away, so you should drive them away. As the wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful. Sing to God. Sing praises to God's name. Exalt the one who rides the clouds. I am is that name. Rejoice before God. In your holy habitation, O God, you are a father to orphans, defender of widows. You give the solitary a home and bring forth prisoners into freedom. But the rebels shall live in desert places. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked and the skies poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You sent a bountiful rain, O God. You restored your inheritance when it languished. Your people found their home in it, in your goodness, O God. And you have made provision for the poor. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. You ride in the heavens, O God. In the ancient heavens, you send forth your voice, your mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies. How wonderful you are in your holy places, O God of Israel. Give strength and power to your people. Blessed be God. A reading from 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence, with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the phrase eternal life? Perhaps you think of heaven, mansions, or streets of gold. Maybe you think of pearly gates or winged angels playing harps. Perhaps you picture a place of peace and rest. Perhaps you think of seeing departed loved ones again. Of course, we have all sorts of notions of what eternal life might be like. We get many of them from cartoons or popular culture. We get some of these notions from Scripture. We might imagine the many dwelling places or many mansions that we heard Jesus mention a few weeks ago, those places Jesus went to prepare for his disciples. As much as we often think about eternal life as a place we might go one day, Jesus defines eternal life in different terms for us today. In this very passage, he says, "He has come to give eternal life to all whom God has given to him. And this," he says, "is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." No mention of heaven, no thought of afterlife, no mention of streets of gold or mansions or anything of the sort, no white robes, no angel wings, no harps, no halos. Here, in a moment of absolute clarity and precision, Jesus gives us an exact, concise definition of eternal life. Eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus. He goes on to explain what that means. Jesus says to the Father, "All mine are yours, and yours are mine. I have been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I'm coming to you. Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so they may be one as we are one." To know the Father and the Son means to have oneness with Jesus and the Father, just as Jesus and the Father are one. We have a word for this intimate knowledge, and that word is relationship. Knowing God and Jesus means relationship, not just with God, but with one another also. that we all may be one as Jesus and the Father are one. And Jesus said, I'm no longer in the world. My disciples are in the world. The work and love and relationship Jesus shared with them in this world now falls to the church, to his disciples. They are in the world. We are in the world to share relationship and love, to share knowledge of God and Jesus, to share eternal life. So if we begin to think about eternal life as a place we go one day, I ask you the same question those two robed men in white asked the disciples in our reading from Acts today. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? Eternal life isn't just up there, it's down here as well. It's not just then, it's now. It's not just where I am recording this sermon, this worship space where we all long to be together again soon. Eternal life is also wherever you are right now. It's wherever you will be after you listen to this sermon. Eternal life is just that. It's eternal. It's not bound by time or space or place. And it's relationship, love and life and sharing with our sisters and brothers here, with Jesus, and with the world through our witness. How often do you think about the life you live each day as being a part of the eternal life God has given to you through Christ? That's always difficult, isn't it? It's hard to think about each moment of each day as a gift from God. It's not always the first thing we think of amidst all our cares and worries. We don't always stop and realize God has given us the gift of eternal life, and that life starts here and now. We don't always stop and think that everything we do, everywhere we go, we are living into the reality of eternal life. We are growing in our knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus, growing in our relationship with God. That is discipleship, and it's an endless journey we are on together. As I say, keeping this knowledge in mind is difficult, even under normal circumstances. But add in a pandemic. Add in bills coming due. Add in uncertainty about work and finances. Add in fears about illness and frail family members. Add in one more Zoom meeting, one more email. Add in the kids going crazy or the difficulty of trying to get to the store safely. And keeping this eternal life in mind each day becomes even more difficult. I know I, for one, have trouble coming to grips with the fact that my Sunday mornings, not to mention my other days, are so different lately. I miss you all dearly. I miss our beautiful worship together in this place. And we will get back to that. And that is important. But that is not in and of itself eternal life. Our Sunday worship is part of eternal life. Our Sunday worship is, in fact, practice for our heavenly worship that will continue into eternity. But as important and as central as Sunday worship is for us, it is not eternal life. Jesus didn't come for just this. Our time here is holy and wonderful. The relationships we share here are part of what Jesus came to bring about. But Jesus brings eternal life. Life forever. Not just after we die, but here and now, tomorrow and the next day and onward, into eternity, that we might know God, be one with God, be fed and filled by God, and do the work of God as the church together. Part of what I hope God is teaching me and teaching us during this time is that our life in Him is so much more than just our Sunday mornings. Eternal life transcends and outshines committee meetings and potluck meals and classes and even our earthly worship. We love those things, and they are gifts of God we long to share together soon. But Jesus came that we might have eternal life, to know the Father and to know the Son. We're fortunate that Jesus defines such a complex idea as eternal life for us today. We're fortunate he came to bring that life and share it with us, and now gifted by God and called into relationship with God, it's up to us to live that out. It is our task to live the eternal life Jesus came to bring. Now, if you had asked me back in February how we are to do this, I probably would have said, come to worship, attend classes and Bible study, serve and love others, pray. Those are all great ways to live out our eternal life together, but right now, doing any of those in person is not a great idea. We will get there together, I promise. But for now, we will have to be creative in how we live out this life. I've mentioned before that one thing that fills me with hope and wonder right now is how wide the reach of Christ's body is at this time. No longer confined in the same way to a Sunday morning hour in a beautiful building, we are all members of Christ's body spread far and wide for the sake of the world. And that is pretty incredible. I'm also amazed at how flexible and creative and innovative the church at large has been over the last few months. I'm seeing more about faith and church and Jesus and love online and in person right now than I ever have before. This eternal life we share is front and center in people's minds right now in a different and wonderful way. We're finding new ways to live out this eternal life, even here in our own community. From Zoom classes and meetings to new mailings to our members without internet access, to online Bible study guides and notes, to our parking lot worship, these audio recordings. We're finding ways to stay connected and continue in this eternal life, even at a distance. I believe we're at a very important and fragile time of transformation together. Our life together may never be the same again, but God is forming and shaping us to live out this life more fully and more faithfully. And finally today, let me urge you to take heart and to not lose courage or hope. Keep this in mind. This life we share is eternal life. We have eternity to live this life. We don't need to rush it. We don't need to squander it either. I'm not urging you to do nothing. Rather, I want to encourage you on days that seem frustrating and overwhelming. Pace yourself. Open your heart and your mind to God in prayer where and when you are able. Open your Bible in study as much as you can manage and allow the Spirit to continue to guide you into all truth. Love and serve your neighbors where and when and how you can. And remember and trust and know and believe that nothing can separate you from God's love in Jesus Christ. Nothing can snatch you away from God, and nothing can snatch this eternal life away from you. We have forever to live it out and to live into relationship with God and with one another. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.